to the next Extinctive podcast, in which I'm talking to Stephen Cook, who has just published his first crime novel, Angels in the Architecture. At Distinctive People, we're speaking to a range of people over the next 12 months who have creative interests and skills that they deploy in a personal context, which influence their leadership. And today, we're delighted to be speaking to Stephen. Hello, Stephen.
Good morning.
Lovely to catch up with you today. I know you've had a successful career in the housing sector as a CEO and non-exec director and consultant, and recently had your first novel published, which is very exciting. And I'm curious about how your passion for writing has developed.
I've always been interested in words and the difference they can make. My father was a printer and a proofreader, so I grew up with an understanding of how important the precision of language was. And at school, I always enjoyed comprehension and long story writing. Then at secondary school, I became involved in the school play productions. And that was a revelation. Here was the chance to speak out loud and actually see how words affected people. One of my big passions in life has always been listening to music. But as much as I enjoy the melodies, it's the words of the songs that always stay with me. And they're the ones that move me the most. But I guess as an avid reader and as somebody not afraid to share their opinions, I always wanted to write a novel, but of course, you never find the time. Back in 2016, I published a short collection of poetry and prose called Words for Lost, and this really whetted my appetite even more. And then once I retired, I decided, right, now or never. I worked 3 days a week for nearly a year writing my novel.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, I chose a detective story because I think it's a genre I understand, and I thought I could build upon that genre. And I chose to set it in Bristol because that's my home city. I know it very well. But I wanted the novel to be more than just a crime thriller, you know. I wanted to shine a light on some of the issues lurking in the shadows of any big city. And of course, those issues are the ones we are all faced with if we work in the social housing sector. But let's not spoil the plot, so you'll have to buy a copy of your own if you want to know more about that.
Absolutely. No, it sounds fascinating. As a writer, do you have a favourite novel?
Oh, gosh, that's hard, isn't it? I mean, it could be a different book every day. But I guess as we're talking about the importance of words right now, then I would go back to a novel I read at university where the use of language is central to the story and the implications of its use in this context are absolutely huge. And that would be The Lost Honour of Katharina Blum by Heinrich Böll. It's a very short novel, but still, sadly, very relevant today, where the tabloid press seem to be using ever more inflammatory language to sell their newspapers and push their agendas. Yeah, I've always loved that book.
Brilliant, thanks. And I'm sure our listeners will be curious to investigate it further. And in what ways has your passion for writing affected your performance as a leader?
I think I'd say writing is only a part of it. I mean, writing is really about communication, and every staff survey and every tenant satisfaction survey tells you how important communication is and how often we get it wrong. So perhaps two examples of how I used communication skills as a leader. I mean, one of the first things you need to understand as a writer, I guess, is your audience. Communicating with different audiences means you might have to use different words to get the same message across. And you certainly need to understand what it is the audience needs to do with this newly imparted information. So as chief exec, when it came to board reports, I always acted as editor-in-chief. I didn't write all the reports, obviously. And it wasn't that I didn't trust those written reports, but I always felt that it was my job to make it as easy as possible for board members to read and understand what they were being given. So in practice, that meant that the various reports had to have a familiar feel, more than just a template. They had to all read as though they were authored by one hand and present the information as one voice. They had to be succinct, factually correct, and most importantly, unambiguous. I think we sometimes forget that board members are only in the business for a few hours each year, and yet they are making decisions that will have a huge impact on the organisation as a whole. So the precision of the language used and the ease of understanding that reports afford is absolutely critical. So writing good board reports isn't easy. It takes time and it takes a lot of thought, but it is time and effort well spent. I guess another example would be how effective communication can turn vision or abstract concepts into something more concrete. One thing I always enjoyed in my time as a leader was presenting, and that meant avoiding death by PowerPoint. We've all been there, haven't we? I mean, probably harking back to those old school plays, but I always believed a good presentation is as much about the performance of delivering it is as the words that you are trying to present. So when you're in a room full of colleagues or tenants, you're trying to bring them up to speed on the strategic plan or some new H&S health and safety legislation or whatever it is, you have to make the presentation engaging. So in reality, you're telling them a story. You're choosing the words you use and you're deciding how and when that story ends. I mean, it's just like writing a novel. And there are many creative ways that you can tell that story to keep your readers, or audience in this case, with you to the very end. But there's one crucial aspect to storytelling, and that's true whether it's in the workplace or in a work of fiction, is that you must always tell the truth. So even the most fantastical works of fiction have to be believed by the reader or they will fail. And that's why I chose to set my novel in a city I knew well, with characters that I could empathise with, dealing with issues that I understood. It might be fiction, but it contains some universal truths, or at least I hope it does.
We can all have the opportunity to be creative and mindful about the words that we use day to day as we interact, whether it's at work, at home. Thank you very much for that. And sort of just continuing that theme and the importance that you put onto words, how much difference do you think they really make?
I think they make a huge difference. As a writer, I've spent a long time searching for the right word. I mean, personally, I will revisit and revisit a sentence until I find the word I want. And then I always check that the word I've settled on is the correct word as well as the right one. It's got to sound right, but it's got to be the right word. And by that, it's got to mean what I want it to say. And I have to be clear in my own mind that there is no other alternative meaning that might undermine my intended meaning, because that actually undermines all you're trying to say, really. And one word can do that. And I think in the workplace, our choice of words is equally important, of course. In whatever role you're in, it's important. As a leader, I think it's doubly so. I learned early on as a leader that colleagues notice everything you do. They notice what you wear, how you act, and they certainly remember what you say to them. I always tried to be kind in everything I did, whether that be a disciplinary hearing or a redundancy interview. And I always prepared, I always thought through and I wrote down what it was I was going to say. But I'm sure that on an occasion the wrong word might have come out. But I've got no doubt that all that colleague remembered at that meeting would have been that one misplaced word. And as leaders, these are the small things that we are judged on. And they can make a huge difference to how others feel about you and about themselves. So yeah, I think it's crucial.
Yeah, some great examples there again, to do in those sensitive conversations, just taking the time to pause and think about the language and the words. Just to conclude, do you have any tips for our listeners about developing their creativity?
Oh, goodness, I don't know about that. I think all I would say is don't underestimate how useful your creative skills are in the workplace. Don't think that they are a separate part of your life to be left at home when you go off to work. When organisations succeed much more easily when everybody brings themselves to work and when they give their whole selves to the business, be yourself, be honest and be true, I guess.
Yeah, thank you very much, Stephen. And thanks all for listening. You've given us a very thought-provoking insight about the use of words and inspired us all to be more creative. Some great tips there. Thanks again, listeners, and watch out for our next podcast shortly.